Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. I'm your host, Dan Sampson, and I'm joined today by NAHU Government Affairs staff members Marcy Buckner and Chris Hartman. On this special edition episode, we'll focus exclusively on the Trump administration's America First prescription drug plan and what it could mean for the price of pharmaceuticals, healthcare, and health insurance overall if implemented as proposed. Before we begin, as a reminder, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and to rate us. The podcast is posted every Friday on these channels ahead of being distributed through the Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. With that, I want to welcome our panelists to the show once again. Today, we are joined by Marcy Buckner and Chris Hartman. As I mentioned, this week's episode is focused exclusively on the White House's prescription drug initiative and what it could mean for healthcare moving forward. Their plan is broken down into four main categories: increased competition, better negotiation, lower list prices, and lower out-of-pocket costs. Let's address the first item, increased competition. What are some of the immediate steps that the administration plans to spur competition, and what other actions do they plan to take or ask Congress to take on this front?
Well, first, when we're diving into this special edition, specifically on the America First blueprint for prescription drugs, I want to point out that as they were putting this together, in order to identify those four categories of challenges that they wanted to solve, the improved competition, better negotiation, the incentives for lower prices, and lowering out-of-pocket costs, they came to identify those challenges by HHS previously identifying issues in the drug market: high list prices for drugs, seniors and government programs overpaying for drugs due to the lack of latest negotiation tools, high and rising out-of-pocket costs for consumers, and foreign governments free riding, as they're calling it, off of American investment in innovation. And so that's how they got to those four points that we're going to discuss today. And then looking at tackling these by actions that the president and HHS may take immediately, and then those that may take time after soliciting some feedback. So then starting off with ways to improve competition.
Yeah, I think, Marcy, you make an important point here. Is while it is one presentation on Friday, one package, we're not talking about the White House introducing a bill to then be passed by the House, Senate, and signed by the White House. They're taking several different approaches going on all at the same time. One is to go two rules that the FDA, that CMMI, CMS can all produce, which means that we'll take some time proposing a rule, getting comment and feedback from groups like NAHU on their proposal, and then making a final rule. Some of these other ideas will take legislation, and it remains to be seen how quickly the House and Senate plan to actually work on any of these. I think they might also be taking it in a lot more bite-sized pieces. For example, Congress has been working on right-to-try legislation, which is your ability as a consumer to try experimental drugs before they've gone into market. And so I think we're going to see in the next coming months this not move as one big package, but as a lot of different smaller pieces out there. So in the world of improving competition, I think there's a lot of questions about the brand name drugs, the generics, and the biologics that are often cheaper and work similar to the drugs, but how do you get them to market? You have certain patent concerns that have been out there, and pharmaceutical companies want to protect their patents because it has cost them a lot of money to invent these drugs. But at some point, trying to mass produce these drugs will bring down the overall cost. And so there's a lot of efforts in these proposals to create more competition between the pharmaceutical industry and allow a lot of these drugs to be brought down in price by, if you have more than one company making them, you'll bring down the cost. Or if you have one that is the brand and then several generics, you'll bring down the overall cost in the system.
So looking specifically at that increased competition, and as Dan asked for those immediate actions, in the blueprint, the immediate actions that the Trump administration spells out are things that I think if we kind of take our fine-tooth comb out and dig through and try to tease this out, we'll see that immediate doesn't mean the same thing to, I think, us, Chris, you and I sitting here, as it may mean to them. So immediate actions for them include steps to prevent manufacturer gaming of regulatory processes, such as risk evaluation and management strategies, measures to promote innovation and competition for biologics, developing proposals to stop Medicaid and Affordable Care Act programs from raising prices in the private market. So these are things that they're listing as immediate actions, but these are pieces that are going to take quite some time to do. As we've already pointed out, there is going to be a heavy lift from HHS and some of the other agencies, as well as some congressional action required in each of the different challenge areas that we'll talk about. But I do want to point out, because the way that this is worded in the release, it does, I don't want to say it's misleading, because of course they can go ahead and start acting on these things and start working with the agencies to write these rules. But I just think to the layperson out there, when you hear that there are immediate actions that are included, you feel as though we're going to have a turnaround and a product and or a resource that's available very soon.
Yeah, I think they mean by immediate action or things that Congress doesn't need to pass, that House and Senate don't need to vote on. But as we all know, the regulatory process can take months, weeks, if not years. But I think that's this months and years piece is part of what they mean by immediate without having to wait for Congress to pass a bill.
The next item is better negotiation. The administration is expected to issue a request for proposal on using a Medicare competitive acquisition program. What would this do? And what other ways is the administration seeking to lower the cost of drugs simply by getting a better deal in negotiations?
So this is one of the pieces that I think I actually brought up last week as foreshadowing of what we could expect to see in the blueprint for America First, and looking at ways that they can dive into Medicare Part D specifically as ways to look at negotiating lower costs. And I think something else that we're seeing here when we're looking at these challenges, and I think a theme that we see really running through this presidency, is that we do have a businessman in the White House when we're looking at ways of improving competition, negotiation, lowering prices. These are all things that we also heard the president talking about when he was talking about ways that the healthcare market in general could be improved with improving competition and choice amongst carriers. So I don't think any of this is a big surprise. And we did expect to see a focus here on Medicare and ways that they can encourage value-based care to lowering drug prices. That's something that NEHU has focused on for quite some time, and seeing this kind of move over into the pharmaceutical area.
And I think that is an area, today I was at a lunch involving a bunch of Senate Democrats, and that was one particular area that I think they were in agreement with the president on, and will be excited to see more of a value-based design approach. So not just paying for drugs based on whatever the pharmaceutical companies list them as, but paying for the ones that actually work based on some sort of evidence that they're improving your healthcare situation. And got several positive feedback on this particular section from several U.S. senators today at lunch.
And focusing on that value-based purchasing is something that they list in their immediate action section for better negotiation. So it's something that we are expecting them to see develop quite soon and try to adopt as soon as possible. Also, trying to allow for more substitution in Medicare Part D for single source generics, allowing those to be available. So not just going for some of those brands that are out, and also again, once again, looking back at patents and some of the things that Chris mentioned under competition.
And I think you have a strong point there, because sort of what the word generics means has gotten very vague over the last decade. We used to think there was the brand name drug, and then generics would come along later, and there'd be multiple of them that would help keep the cost down. But now what you're finding is once the brand name is done, a generic company will take over, but they will be the only company creating this product, which then again, when you look at issues like negotiating cost and competition, if a generic is still the only company making this particular drug, capitalism won't drive down the cost of that drug out there.
And then taking this thought process a little further beyond Medicare Part B and D, they are also looking under this section for better negotiation to try to use some of that value-based pricing in the private market as well. So kind of experimenting with immediate actions in the Medicare market, and then under their further opportunities, they do list looking at going into private payers as well. And then also looking at ways of investigating tools to address foreign government threats on licensing, intellectual property theft that might be harming the innovation of development and driving up drug prices here in America.
Yeah, I think this is something that's your last point about foreign governments is something that's very important to President Trump. He feels that foreign countries have been getting a free ride off of the American pharmaceutical industry and the innovation that goes on here. So I think what needs to be decided over the long term is how that would actually work and what that actually means. And how do you address the fact that some of these drugs are made overseas, that a lot of the innovation and science might be done here, but then they'll all create their own version of the generics in their own countries. And how do you negotiate that out through either treaties that need to be written or negotiated out, particularly if you're looking at different things that used to actually affect drug costs, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and others that the U.S. will not now be involved in, has been some of the mechanisms that we've used to try to address this issue of pharmaceuticals overseas. But now the administration is talking about addressing those pharmaceuticals overseas. It'll be interesting to see what sort of mechanisms they actually want to use to be able to cause that to happen.
And I think part of this is also looking to the responsibility of the manufacturers and the pharmacist and other pharmaceutical companies as well. And some of that is addressed in some of the other pieces that we'll get to in just a moment.
Another goal is to lower the list prices. HHS Secretary Alex Azar suggested that disclosure of list prices in TV commercials for pharmaceuticals might encourage drug makers to reduce their costs. Can you elaborate on this proposal, how it would work, and other ways drug makers might seek to reduce their prices, either through incentives or disincentives for not doing so?
So I think this was one of the pieces that made a lot of news. I think this was one of the pieces that was not talked about ahead of time or leaked anywhere, but we all watch these drug commercials and they are forced to disclose all the possible side effects. And so one of the things that the administration wants to add to this is also adding the cost of the drug, which makes a lot of sense. I think the question that lead to is what will that price that they put out there on the advertisement be? We talk about the list price, but Marcy, who actually pays that list price? And is that the way that carriers and others actually interact with pharmaceutical companies?
You're right, Chris. I think this is one of the more interesting pieces that was released in the Rose Garden ceremony and something that was not part of Secretary Azar's talking points prior to this release. I think it's also important to point out that the U.S. is only one of two countries that allows direct-to-consumer advertising on pharmaceuticals, New Zealand being the other country that allows this. And as you pointed out, they provide a lot of information about the drugs, including the long litany of side effects, but they don't include the side effect of emptying your wallet. And with this listing of prices, I think it sounds good, again, to the layperson of, okay, they're going to list the prices that are available here. But the list price on a drug of how much it's going to cost does not necessarily translate to how much the consumer is going to be paying for it. So I think this is where the questions come up on how they're actually going to implement this. Because, of course, you could get real sticker shock on some of these if the list price is released. But if you're working with your pharmacist and your physicians and others and working with your broker to make sure you're in the appropriate type of insurance plan to make sure that any type of expensive pharmaceuticals that you require are covered, that list price isn't going to be what we see the consumer paying. So I think this could lead to some confusion, and we are very interested in learning the ways that they are looking into trying to make these costs more transparent. I think this also gets to the heart of some of the pieces that NEHU talks about from time to time about transparency. That transparency isn't just listing prices. It's also about a lot of other pieces that I think sometimes consumers think they just want to see the list price, But the reality is this isn't going to be the actual price that they're paying. The sticker, the price on the sticker doesn't match exactly what ends up in the end point of negotiations. So I do worry about this, or I'm concerned about how we're going to see this coming into place. I think the other part of this leads us to point out that along with the release of the blueprint, there was also a list of, what was it, over 100 questions that the administration released that they would like answered about their program and how to implement it. And this is just one of those topics that elicited some of those questions, leading to a long document of exactly how they should be looking at putting these things into place.
I think you make a great point there that the administration's actual document on a plan actually had over 100 questions in it. And it just sort of demonstrates what an infinitely complicated area we are talking about pharmaceuticals overall, how to reduce those costs while encouraging innovation so that we're creating new drugs. Yes, we could all lower the cost of prescription drugs tomorrow, but how do we get people to invent new ones? And so there are so many questions that this proposal actually raises, and they raise those questions actually in the proposal itself. So the proposal is not something that can be implemented tomorrow. They're really looking for feedback from all sorts of industries, including the health insurance broker world, about how these things would react and work in the real world if they allow some of these things to go through. I think we see a lot of different changes with PBMs that they're proposing out there, and giving them fiduciary responsibility, and what would that actually have an effect on there. I know with a lot of those who work in the self-insurance universe, PBMs really have a large effect on what price that particular self-insuring company will be paying for prescription drugs.
And I think the piece about considering fiduciary status for pharmacy benefit managers, those PBMs, is fascinating, especially after we've seen the interest over the last administration in increasing fiduciary duties for those in the investment arena, now shifting and looking at the fiduciary status of those PBMs and what their responsibility is to their consumers to try to make sure that they're not putting in place pieces that are continuing to make the cost of drugs skyrocket and that they are being responsible to their consumers. I think that piece is going to be really interesting to see play out with some of the stakeholders in this area and seeing what their responses are to many of those questions.
Finally, the administration is seeking to reduce out-of-pocket costs for consumers, including a proposal that would grant pharmacists the ability to disclose how patients can reduce their out-of-pocket costs. What are some immediate actions we can expect to address this?
So I think this pharmacy gag clause is something that a lot of people have been advocating to have changed for some time. You can't talk to a pharmacy and necessarily find how to get this drug the cheapest way possible. And so I think a lot of people feel that the lack of transparency out there is something that has really hindered people's ability to get lower out-of-pocket costs. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we're all looking for? How do we lower the amount everybody is paying for prescription drugs out there? So I think at the heart of their proposal on lowering out-of-pocket cost is to eliminate this pharmacy gag clause that exists out there.
Yes, that is the leading bullet under their challenge for lowering out-of-pocket costs. And then also looking at ways to improve the usefulness of the Part D explanation of benefit statement by including information about drug price increases, as well as listing lower cost alternatives. So just another way of trying to make sure that they're educating the consumer on the actual prices of some of these drugs, and then some of the alternatives that they could be using, which may lower their costs.
Before we wrap up the show for the week, we'll look ahead to what's on tap for next week, both Congress and administration. What's on tap?
Well, first, let's talk about the proposal we just actually went through. This is obviously something that's going to be on tap.
Yes.
Not only next week, but in the following weeks. It's going to be something we have to talk a lot more about here at NHU, I think on these podcasts and others. We just threw you a lot of information, and there's a lot of information that's left to be explained, to be talked about, to be the pros and cons debated when it comes to prescription drugs. And I think what we need to remember for agents and brokers and for what we do here is that at the end of the day, we're trying to advocate to make sure the consumer, either the employer or the employees who work for there, are able to afford the treatments that they're necessary and that particularly the prescription drugs. So I think for what's on tap for next week, we'll be continuing to look at these issues of prescription drugs. You're going to see opioid abuse as part of the discussion, and that is a huge piece on prescription drugs.
And with that, I think it's really important to make that tie-in between the interest in Congress wanting to do something on opioids and this blueprint. So as much as we pointed out the actions that are going to be needed by the agencies as well as Congress to be able to implement much of what we saw in the blueprint from America First for the pharmaceutical drugs, one of the avenues for this, for Congress to act, could possibly be some of these opioid bills. We all know how the past 2 years have gone in Congress and the stalemates that we've come across over a lot of the really important issues in this country and the lack of response by Congress to try to get things passed. And I think as much as there is now a stress on Congress to be able to pick up some of the pieces that were in this blueprint in order for some of them to actually be implemented, the avenue here is that there is interest on both sides of the aisle, in both chambers of Congress, to do something on opioids. And because that does obviously relate back to pharmaceutical drugs, that could be the way that President Trump is able to pressure Congress into passing the pieces necessary to try to implement this package that we just talked about.
It's now time for the toast of the week. What are we celebrating this week?
This week, we are toasting to NEHU and specifically our CEO, Janet Trautwein, who was at the Rose Garden ceremony unveiling America First pharmaceutical plan with President Trump. We always like to celebrate when we're able to have a seat at the table and have our voice heard. And this week, we were able to do that at the White House.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the NEHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NEHU's government affairs efforts and to join as a member of NEHU, visit nehu.org.